Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. What if you could leave Illinois without moving? Our guest contends it can be done if demands are met for the creation of a new state by shifting borders to separate from Chicago. G.H. Merritt chairs New Illinois, a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization with the mission of educating Illinoisans about their right under the U.S. Constitution to pursue the formation of a new state. You can go to newillinois.org for information beyond this podcast. Ms. Merritt, critics would argue that New Illinois is not nonpartisan because the real goal is to move beyond Democratic Party control in Chicago and Cook County. What's your response to that?
Well, I can understand why people would say that, but this is really what's going on. In Cook County, you do have, 75-80% Democratic voters. The rest of the state, many of those areas are very red. And so it just so happens that this part of the state that is disenfranchised has more of those kind of people living there. If the tables were turned, nothing inherent about New Illinois that is Democrat or Republican.
Maybe some people out there don't understand what you mean by disenfranchised. What are you talking about?
Even though the people there have the right to vote, what's happened in Illinois is that outside of Cook County, people do not have true representative government. And the reason for that, even though there's been a divide in the state that goes back to the late 1800s, in 1964 there was a landmark Supreme Court ruling called Reynolds v. Sims. And what that did was it took away any geographic basis for the state legislature, in particular the state Senate. And so Everett Dirksen, who was one of our U.S. senators at that time, tried to pass a constitutional amendment to change that ruling because he warned that in any state with a sizable city, all the power of state government would be absorbed into that city. And that is what's happened. So you have a county with 40% of the population dominates the rest of the state with 60% of the population. And that absorption of power allowed, you know, you already had a corrupt political machine in Chicago. And so what that absorption of power did was allow them then to gerrymander and just take power completely. And so people downstate really don't have representation.
Downstate, but I think I feel it in Will County, and I feel like I'm not represented.
Well, I live in Lake County, and I feel that way too. As I look on your wall with the congressional maps, they've gerrymandered it. I heard a pundit once describe it as, it's like a bowl of spaghetti. Chicago's the bowl, and the districts go out like strands of spaghetti. And so my district, I live near the Wisconsin state line, and my district goes all the way down to like Evanston. And, you know, it's shaped like a glove, and I'm just one of the fingers. So in the Illinois Constitution, these districts are supposed to be compact and contiguous. And they're contiguous, but they're not compact in this universe.
I think of what's happening, let's say, out in Piatone. A lot of farmers out there, and here is Chicago government saying, we want to build an airport out there.
Mm-hmm.
And these farmers don't have a voice.
Right. And in fact, the same kind of thing is happening with the CO2 pipeline in central Illinois, the Grain Belt Express a little farther south, and with wind farms and solar farms. I mean, it isn't really about the wind farms and the solar farms. It's that they've taken away the local voice. And so they made it so somebody can put up one of those giant windmills 600 feet from your house. I can't remember exactly when it was, but it was a couple years ago. The governor said that, no, the local people have got to be involved in this kind of decision on projects like this. And then they passed a law that said, No, they don't. And you see the same thing going on in Manteno, too. The population there is very much against the Goshen factory connected to the
Chinese Communist Party.
And they're fighting. There's dangers involved. There is an aquifer there, you know, so and that too with the CO2 pipeline. They're concerned about the aquifers that provide drinking water for like a million people.
Ms. Merritt, you talked about the fact that a lot of folks don't have representative government. But what are some of the factors related to that? Corruption, mm-hmm. high taxes, mm-hmm. extreme abortion policy, failing schools.
Yeah, there are plenty of problems. We are a state-split organization. Under that umbrella, our three focus areas are representative government, government corruption, and our state's fiscal catastrophe. And they're all kind of linked together. The lack of representation allowed the corruption to develop. And because of the corruption, you have this spending. And we try to walk this very fine nonpartisan line, except for the fact that under Governor Rauner and then reinforced under Governor Pritzker, they said, hey, we think it'll be a great idea if the state pays for elective abortions. And even if you're pro-choice, if you've got a state that's as indebted as Illinois, you know that's not a good idea. Our members certainly have very strong feelings about various social issues. For instance, I think our members tend to be Second Amendment supporters. The bill is passed, and you don't look at it like, oh, was it the Democrats or the Republicans that were voting for that? I look at where do they live, and you see that a lot of these things, they're passed by Chicago, imposed on the rest of the state. And so we think that...
So a downstate Democrat might be in favor of the Second Amendment.
Yes.
But here, it's a different story in the Chicago area.
Yes. And in the new state, the laws are going to be passed to reflect the people who live there. And I really don't think the people who live there are going to want to turn Illinois into the abortion capital of the Midwest, which is what's going on right now.
New Illinois has a list of grievances mm-hmm. that take their cue from the Declaration of Independence. Mm-hmm. Now, among them is the failure of the state to provide a Republican form mm-hmm. of government. We're not talking about a GOP form of government.
Correct.
What do you mean?
We're talking about government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And when you have this kind of imbalance where Cook County has 40% of the people but has supermajority domination in the legislature, all the statewide office holders are from Chicago, you have to look at that and say, okay, what is going on? We don't have representative government, and the thing is, the governments derive their just power from the consent of the governed. If you don't have representative government, you're not given your consent. And I think that's the feeling as you go downstate in Illinois, that they're not given their consent to a lot of the things that are going on.
What about election fraud? would a new Illinois run a fair election?
Yes. I think one thing, people sometimes say, oh, well, I'm a Democrat and I live in Peoria. Am I going to be, you know, disenfranchised? You know, we don't want to do to other people what's been done to us. And the fact is there are all kinds of people that live in every part of Illinois. And so what we are trying to do, we have a Constitution Committee that is about halfway through in a draft for a Constitution for the new state. And it's got a lot of safeguards in it to prevent some of the stuff that's gone on in Illinois. I think we're just so accustomed to corruption being the part of our life. And like
we've accepted it.
Yeah, unfortunately. But like with election fraud, when we did that grievance, it didn't have anything to do with the 2020 election and how people thought there were problems with it. What this did is it looked at the data going back to 1960, and we found that there was a history of election fraud in the state of Illinois. In fact, former Alderman Dick Simpson, affiliated with the University of Chicago, periodically puts out a report on corruption in the states and corruption in the cities. And that is based on public corruption convictions over the course of 40 years. So it's not a snapshot of what's going on right now. It's what's your legacy.
Let's take a time out and let's go into some of the nuts and bolts of what a new Illinois would look like after this. Join Allie Beth Stuckey and the Illinois Family Institute for the Faith, Family, and Freedom Banquet, 7 p.m. Friday, September 6th at the Tinley Park Convention Center. For tickets, go to IllinoisFamily.org.
Christianity brings civilization, goodness.
Allie Beth Stuckey, wife, mom, author, followed by thousands on her hit Relatable podcast. Hear her fresh and firm call for Christians to lead in Illinois, in America, for faith, family, and freedom. For tickets, go to IllinoisFamily.org.
Christians have always been on the front lines of human progress, set in love.
Allie Beth Stuckey and the Illinois Family Institute's Faith, Family, and Freedom Banquet, Friday, September 6th at the Tinley Park Convention Center. For tickets, go to IllinoisFamily.org, IllinoisFamily.org.
Hail and well met. My name is Jenna.
I'm Kenna Rose.
And I'm Eliana.
We are three of the five hosts of the Self-Evident podcast, a platform dedicated to speaking truths that were once self-evident, and our hope is that we do so in love.
We have seen a distinct lack of platforms talking about worldview issues and theology and just a lot of what's going on in the world from a perspective of speaking truth, but doing it in such a way that is loving. And so our hope is to be able to talk about these in such a way that
our peers can access it.
Right, absolutely.
As well as interviewing a variety of people such as pastors, actors, theologians, directors, even some of our friends to glean wisdom from their own walks of life.
Yeah, so if you are in the Generation Z category, even if you're above that, or impressively, even if you're below that and you're listening to podcasts, good on you. We encourage you to stop by our platform at selfevidentpodcast.com.
Self-evident, speaking truths that were once self-evident and doing so in love.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. Model Eric here, along with G.H. Merritt, who chairs New Illinois. It's a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization with a mission to create a new Illinois.
It's a mission to educate Illinoisans about their right under the U.S. Constitution to pursue the formation of a new state. Our success isn't guaranteed, but we certainly have the right to give this a try.
Got a website?
NewIllinoisState.org. I'll also say this. There are five states in the United States that came into being through state splits. Sometimes people use the word secession, and that sounds like the Confederacy. That's not what we're doing. We're doing a legal constitutional process for creating a new state. And so,
well, I want to get into how it can happen, but What would the boundaries of a new Illinois look like?
In one way, it would be this attempt to reflect the will of the people. Now, in any county, you're going to have somebody that says, no, I don't want this. But there's another group that's been putting a referendum on the ballot, an advisory referendum, and it's been on the ballot in 27 counties so far, and in each case, it's won by a landslide. So I am sure those counties would want to be a part of this. But what we did is we looked at an earlier constitution, laid out the boundaries of the state, and we thought, okay, it's going to be somewhat basically Cook County on one side and the other 101 counties on the other. I mean, that is our politically and economically, that's our best case scenario. But there are places in Cook County that have tried to escape from Cook County before, but this was like 10 years ago. And so I think there's parts of Cook County that might want to be part of the new state. On the other hand, there's parts of Lake County that I think identify much more with the city and probably would not be interested in us. And so there's no way to completely predict it. I think when you get into the collar counties, you'd have to have a township-by-township referendum.
Will County?
Will County is similar to Lake County in that there's some townships that are adjacent to Cook County that I think might not be interested, but that would be remain to be seen.
Any idea how many people would actually live in a New Illinois? You'd think people would flock to get there?
If it were the scenario of Cook on one side, the rest of the counties on the other, Cook would be about 5.2 million, and the rest of the state, or the new state, would be about 7.6 million.
I can see critics saying, oh, you just want to have white farmers there.
Well, we, as I mentioned, we have our focus areas. The only thing that we've taken an official position on outside of that is universal school choice. And I told an African-American man from the South Suburbs one day that we supported that, and he goes, well, if you do that, I think half the African-American families in Chicago are going to be moving to New Illinois. And I thought, yay.
Why is that?
Because the schools are failing. They're very expensive and they're failing.
Yeah. You see what's happening on the streets, all the crime, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
They're being taxed out of their homes.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, you mentioned that this is not the first time the talk about this has gone on.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like it's really picking up steam now. What do you think? You mentioned some things that are kind of triggering this, but do you think there's actually some kind of a strong consensus that this can actually happen?
Well, among a lot of people, yeah, there's still people out there that say, oh, it can't happen. Or,
well, Democrats won't allow this. They're so powerful, they'll knock this off. It just won't happen. What do you say to that?
I say we need to have a conversation. Now, I'll tell you, I have had a conversation with Representative LaShawn Ford. He spoke at one of our events. He made it very clear. He doesn't support what we're doing, but we have common ground with him. He's a supporter of school choice, and he said that he can connect me with other Democrats who would be willing to have the conversation. And we're also working on what we call win-win messaging, because the financial state and of the city is terrible. Regardless of what our state government tells us, it's going to go over a cliff one of these days. And in fact, Ted Dabrowski from Wire Points told me, he says, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Pension debt, all that stuff.
Yeah. Our state government doesn't have the will to do anything about it. And so what we're doing is putting together a deep dive into the numbers to demonstrate to people that this is viable and that it can be a win-win for both old Illinois and new Illinois. And also, another thing that continually comes up is a study that was put out by the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute at Southern Illinois University. We have a rebuttal to that on our website because people perceive that to be an economic report, but it's not. It's a political policy analysis that seems to have a very anti-state split, anti-conservative bias. So their numbers weren't good, and that's what our rebuttal is based on. So I think this is a lot of work. We have a finance committee that has some guys on it that are CPAs, and we're also working with some finance experts on it. So that's one thing that I say, yeah, it can happen.
Well, I know Brad Halbrook several years ago brought up that idea. He was among several lawmakers who brought up that idea, kind of got nowhere. So you're getting somewhere now.
Yeah, I think so. Like if you look back to the 1800s, people started talking about it then. In fact, you know, we had one of our speakers at our convention is a historian from Southern Illinois. And he talked about the differences culturally in the way Northern Illinois and Southern Illinois were settled. It was land grants to Revolutionary War soldiers in payment for their service. And so that was settled first, while Chicago was a trading post. And so as time's gone on, there's been that tension. They were able to have a balance. And so then in 1925, the Chicago City Council voted to have Chicago become a city-state. I don't know whatever happened with that. About 50 years ago, there were 16 counties in West Central Illinois that called themselves the Republic of Forgottonia. And because they felt they were getting short-changed in infrastructure spending. And so There's been a lot of times when it's cropped up, but many of these times it was before the telephone. All of the previous efforts were before the internet. So what you have now is people can communicate. It's all over the state. There's two organizations pursuing this, and our government is really a mess.
You say there's two organizations. Are you rivals?
No.
What's the other one?
The other one is called Illinois Separation, and I'm glad you asked about them. They are the ones that are going county by county and putting an advisory referendum on the ballot. And so that's what they do. We both have the same end goal. What we do is the organizational part of it. We lobby legislators. We have our local committees. We are putting together a organizational infrastructure for a new state government.
You have chapters across the state.
Yeah, we have 33 committees representing 43 counties. And so Illinois Separation, what they've been doing is very valuable because that supplies hard data. During the last presidential election, it was on numerous county ballots. And if you look at them, you see that it wasn't just a few interested people saying yes to the referendum. It was the same percentage of people that were voting for the president were voting on the referendum. And so it was a landslide. Like I say, what they are producing is the best kind of polling data you'd ever want to know.
Okay, so you've formed these chapters and you're creating more interest there. Mm-hmm. What else has to happen? How long would it take to create a new Illinois after, let's say, it gets approved? Would it have to be approved by the General Assembly? What happens?
The mechanics, what is required by the U.S. Constitution is to get the consent of the state legislature and the consent of Congress. And so that's where you have people saying, oh, the Illinois General Assembly will never approve that. Well, if they've got county after county saying this is what we want, I think you'll reach that critical mass. But the referendum isn't a requirement to move forward on this. That's why we're lobbying, and that's why we're trying to get our numbers together to present this win-win scenario. And it's not impossible. In 1981, the Illinois General Assembly considered a very similar resolution. And a resolution doesn't get signed by the governor. It just needs a bare majority. And so it passed the Senate, and then it got tabled in the House. But that was introduced by Howard Carroll, who was a Democrat from Chicago.
You're gaining grassroots support for this,
mm-hmm.
and you have some political support.
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting any kind of support from the business community?
We need to, I think, cultivate that more. But, yeah, there's different people that have businesses in the state that are supportive of us.
I think New Illinois would be good for their business.
Yeah, like one of them is a farm supply chain. You know, we do need to reach out to businesses more. You see, we've been real grassroots, maybe seat of the pants kind of operation. Our first year was 2018. Our entire budget was $130. And in the years since, it's just people paying for things out of pocket, putting their time and their hearts into it. And now we're growing to a point where we're having strategic planning because we realize to take this up to the next level, we need to, you know, have a map.
Is this a winning issue, do you think, for maybe a lot of downstate candidates?
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. Because, well, in some of these downstate counties, the referendum passed by, well, it averaged 75%, but there was one county it passed by 83%. And so I don't think I'd want to be someone running for the legislature that was going against that.
Okay. You kind of touched on this, but how would a new Illinois be good for Chicago, Cook County?
We're working on the numbers, but their share of, if you do rough estimates, their share of the massive debt would be somewhat more than the rest of the counties combined. And so we plan to have a state that's much lower tax, much lower regulation, and so that the economy would then start to boom. So it would not be entirely risky for us to take on more of that debt than would actually be our share. And so they might like that. They might like the fact that they don't have to worry about what all the people out in rural Illinois think about what they're doing. They can go forward on their own path, as can we.
They can go forward with what they want to call their progressive agenda.
Exactly.
I will call it their regressive agenda.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
We want an amicable divorce, but we want to be friendly next door neighbors.
Now, how will that work out? You've got old Illinois, the existing Illinois, and new Illinois. Can we still be friends?
Well, I think a lot of people in the prospective new Illinois have loved ones that live in the city.
Sure.
I do.
Yeah. Would you work together on some issues?
Oh, I think, yeah. Like you've got, you know, regional transportation. And, you know, you've also got most of the prisons are in the rest of Illinois. Most of the universities are there. So you'd have to get some system going that works for both states.
Well, in a nutshell, what has to happen for New Illinois to become a reality? And then what year are we looking at for New Illinois to have its own flag and all that?
The requirements are the consent of the state legislature and the consent of Congress. The timeline is not entirely predictable, but since we started, we have tied it to Illinois' approach toward that financial cliff. When it gets to that point, we believe that we'll be in our best negotiating position. People often bring up the idea of, oh, wait, they're never going to let you do this because that means two more senators and they don't want to disrupt the balance of power. Now, when Joe Biden came into office, nobody seemed too concerned about that when they were pushing for D.C. and Puerto Rico
right.
to come in as states. But what we've always believed, and New California says the same thing, is that much of the U.S. history, states have entered the Union in pairs. Now, we know that mostly from before the Civil War, where you had free states and slave states entering at the same time. But even up to when Alaska and Hawaii entered the Union, one was blue, one was red, and they went bing, bing right after each other. And so we believe that we would be paired off with a place like Puerto Rico.
Who knows?
It would have a zero effect on the U.S. Senate as far as the balance of power.
New Illinois would be pro-business, pro-family?
Yes.
Okay, and school choice would be a big part of that?
Universal school choice. In fact, we just got to that part in our draft of the New Illinois Constitution.
Okay. How do you keep New Illinois from becoming like the existing Illinois? Who said,
mm-hmm.
meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
Mm-hmm. I got two answers to that. Number one, we are putting a tremendous number of safeguards into the new Constitution so that we won't end up in this place again. But I can also tell you my personal opinion as a follower of Jesus Christ. But humans have a sin nature, and eventually, down the line, if Jesus doesn't come back first,
you can strive for utopia, but it ain't going to happen.
No, all we can do is put those safeguards in place. And, you know, I do that read the Bible in a year kind of program.
Sure.
And I've been reading a lot in 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, and there's so much there that I look at and I see our government reflected in it, because when they fall away from the Lord, things are not good.
That's where we are.
Exactly. We're trying our best to put roadblocks to corruption.
There we go. Well, G.H. Merritt, it's New Illinois State.
NewIllinoisState.org.
Okay.
Yeah, we'd love to have people get on board with us because there's power in numbers.
There we go. All right. Thank you so much, and thank you folks for tuning in. Please support the work of the Illinois Family Institute. All donations are tax deductible. Go to IllinoisFamily.org to give, to sign on for IFI email updates, and to order copies of our free, nonpartisan voter guide, IllinoisFamily.org. Join with IFI in prayer for our state and nation. Visit our special website, humilityandprayerillinois.com. That's humilityandprayerillinois.com. We spell out the word and. And tell your family and friends about Illinois Family Spotlight. Until next time, stay healthy, stay active, and God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. and to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.